today in the Southern Press that the police are investigating the leaking of market-sensitive information about a planned company takeover to Mick Gatto. This is amid increasing Australian Federal Police and other authorities' concern about the infiltration of the stock market by organised crime figures. There's chapter and verse in very large reports in the Melbourne Press today about the involvement of underworld figures in this Opus scandal and other stock market scandals. One bloke who's very much on top of the detail is the founder of Crikey.com, Stephen Main, and I'm pleased to say that he's able to have a chat with us tonight. G'day, Stephen.
Hi, Smithy. How are you?
Cobber, really well, mate. Mate, you're calling for a royal commission into Opus.
I am, yeah. Look, basically, we've never seen a collapse quite like it in terms of people who thought they owned shares not really owning it and losing a lot. $400 million disappearing. Irregularities, tax havens, and because it was the lender of last resort and it would lend against any stock, it attracted a very colourful clientele. And
that's a great word, mate, isn't it? Colourful.
It is colourful. And I think the very ostentatious presence of Mr. Gatto saying that a number of his friends have been caught up in Opus, basically he's going to unveil, I think, through any form of decent investigation, quite an Aladdin's cave of information about some of these particular shareholders. Now, the Age newspaper in Melbourne today on the front page listed a series of individuals who were in the top 20 shareholders of a company called Boss Energy, and this is basically, you know, convicted heroin dealers, outlaw motorcycle riders, etc., etc. And the ANZ Bank now finds itself as the proud owner of 25% of Boss Energy because it seized all these shares that were owned by Opus Prime clients. So I think that there's a lack of confidence in the financial system in Australia at the moment with all these collapses. We're becoming a bit of a joke with these underworld figures standing up and saying we can do a better job than the lawyers and the courts.
Yep.
So I think it is time for the regulatory bodies to actually stand up and be counted here and say, this isn't a joke. Let's have a decent look at this.
There's a quote today from Gordon Brown, one of the Opus fellows in Singapore, who said, quote, "The money has been lost mainly as a result of trading, especially by Chris Murphy and a few others." What were they doing? Was it the case that if one of the favoured few looked like getting a margin call, was Opus topping up their account with other people's stock?
That's right. There were apparently six favoured accounts. The only one that's been named thus far is Chris Murphy, which was, I think, the biggest.
And he's the Sydney defence lawyer, criminal
master. Yeah, he's a very well-known Sydney criminal lawyer. In the 1980s, he was the biggest gambler on the racetracks in Sydney. He's a very, you know, lively and engaging and flamboyant character. He's acted for the who's who of the criminal underworld over the decades, and in the last sort of 10 years has become a day trader who at his peak amassed a fortune of said to be about $200 million, and his biggest play was backing his mate Jamie Packer in Challenger Financial Group.
You can get away with Jamie now, do you reckon, mate?
Well, I think I was surprised Jamie hasn't bought a few more Challenger shares because Jamie owned 20% of it, and they've tanked from $6.50 to $1.50. in the last 5 months, and that's been the biggest single factor that's sent Opus and Chris Murphy in particular into a spot of bother. The allegations in the press today that when Chris Murphy did sell, apparently, $25 million worth of Challenger shares a few weeks ago, he denied this was a margin call at the time. And what apparently happened was the shares were transferred into this British Virgin Islands vehicle controlled by the Opus Prime directors themselves. So rather than actually doing a proper margin call on a client in trouble, they just shuffled cash into Singapore and up through into these Virgin Islands vehicles and jiggled it around and hit it. Of course, you know, like any problem gambler, you often chase the losses, you try and trade your way out of trouble and you just dig yourself a bigger hole. That's what's happened here.
Mate, I got an email from a financial advisor a couple of days ago who said, look, it's really investors' own fault. You know, buyer beware, it was all there in the detail of the contracts. They should have known that they were putting their stock into the pool and that they stood to lose it if it went belly up. Do you think that the disclosure was sufficient? I mean, would a reasonable person be able to understand that they stood, in fact, to lose all of their stock?
Well, I think that a lot of very sophisticated people didn't realise it, let alone the normal person. I mean, Herb Elliott, chairman of Fortescue Metals, Olympic legend, they thought he'd amassed a personal fortune of $40 million. Suddenly he's lost $15 million because of this. And he wouldn't have been aware of this. Basically it's buried in the fine print. And they did change the terms of the fine print in February. So I think they realised they weren't quite disclosing it fully enough.
Yep.
In February, and they beefed up the disclosure from February on. But a lot of representations were made in marketing documents by brokers, by bankers, saying, you know, go for Opus, they're great, et cetera, et cetera. Everyone did sign the contracts with the fine print. But I think there is a question of whether it's unconscionable and whether representations were made to properly alert people to the fact that they were going to lose the lot if the thing went belly up.
Mate, I've got to ask you, what's become of the famed Maserati that Chris Murphy was given?
Well, he said he took it out for a drive and it didn't quite work, and so it's just sitting in his shed unregistered. There's another half a dozen of them floating around Australia that were gifted out to Opus Prime's favoured clients. They had a sideline business which was changing left-hand drive Maseratis to right-hand drive in Singapore, and then importing them as second-hand cars and gifting them to favoured clients. I'm not sure what the tax treatment of such a gift would be, but it's a pretty colourful operation when you've got the British Virgin Islands, you've got Mick Gatto, you've got three Maseratis, you've got margin calls not happening, and you've got lots of confidence in the financial system, and I think a decent inquiry is worthy given the facts as they stand at the moment.
A royal commission, mate.
Well, maybe the Australian Crime Commission getting into it. I think if you broaden it out, I mean, there's talk of another company in Sydney, a broker called Lift Capital, which is being mentioned on the Sydney Morning Herald website this afternoon as having loans of $650 million and being in a spot of bother as well. Tricom, big, you know, even Eddie Groves demanding to know what's going on, you know, short sellers destroying his stock, all these claims have been made about stock lending. Now, the Opus boys are into all this. Stock lending, short selling, all that stuff. So I think a decent inquiry into all of these issues, and including whether the stock exchange can continue to be the most lucrative monopoly in Australia and the regulator of the system.
They're good questions.
It's a good inquiry.
Good on you. Thanks for speaking with us, Stephen Mayne, the founder of Crikey.
Thanks, Mitty.
Cheers on 4BC.